And we are back. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making it cool to be a conservative. All right, so it's Taco Tuesday, and I was sitting there struggling on the spot to remember who I was. I knew in my mind I could picture a Looney Tunes cartoon character, and bam, immediately, Jeremy from Huntsville texts in, says, Speedy Gonzalez saying, andale, andale, arriba. And then Bob from Athens joined in, too, and says, maybe Speedy Gonzalez. That's exactly who I was thinking of. So did you go find a sound effect?
Yeah, I got something, but he said something in Spanish before. I don't know what he's saying, but I'm going to play the half where he's saying that. Arriba, arriba.
Since we don't know what's being said, we don't want to run the risk of a thing that might have been dubbed in. So just play the important part at the end. Yeah. That's it. That's the one. All right. So we may have to find that or a cleaner version of that or something, but that may have to be the top. All right. Y'all can vote if you want to. The text lines are indeed open. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Is Taco Tuesday now going to have the Speedy Gonzalez sound effect? It just may. Yeah, maybe so. All right. I like it. Good job, man. Good find. Jeff Mendianis texted in and says, Phil, congratulations on Right Side Radio's Day of the Month of Conservative Radio Appreciation. Thank you for all you do to bring the good word politically and religiously to the people. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. I think that's the holiday he coined for us yesterday.
What was it?
It's Right Side Radio's Conservative Radio Appreciation Month.
Okay.
Yeah.
The whole month.
I'm sure. Why not? John from Hunt says, Phil, awesome monologue, and I think the sound effect for Taco Tuesday should be recording a big rig biting into a crunchy hard shell taco. No. No, we cannot do that.
You don't want that.
No, that would not work. No. No. He'd lose points, John. He'd never dig out of that B minus you gave him yesterday. What'd you get a B minus for?
Because I watched Seinfeld.
Oh, that's right.
Which I have no clue why he ate Seinfeld.
I heard Seinfeld was an Auburn fan. Just trying to bring you back up, bro. All right. John from Harvest, regarding the monologue, says, inspiring words from our leader now, quote, all we have to fear is, the thing. Come on, man. Yeah, that's exactly right. That sounds exactly like what we got. JT Lacey Spring says, Braveheart, Mel Gibson. Paraphrase, if you don't have freedom, it's all for nothing. That's a paraphrase. That was a great speech. And I thought about, as I was putting these phrases together, JT, I was literally thinking, do I include Braveheart? Because he was literally calling them to freedom. I didn't because it was a fictional movie. I chose to go with speeches that were actually made historically. But yeah, that was one of my favorite movie scenes of all time. I've seen some before where they try hard to have the leader like give a speech and you're less than inspired, like, okay. It ain't coming across, man. You ain't cutting it.
That was like the only movie they did it and it worked.
No, there was a couple others. I'll be honest with you. Lord of the Rings again.
Okay, yeah.
When Theoden rallied the troops before they rode off into the battle with the orcs. That was a good one.
Yeah.
And then, oh gosh.
Okay, I take that back. Yeah, okay. There's a couple of movies.
Hang on, man. I got another one here. I just lost my train of thought. Darn it! I'll come back to it in a minute. But yeah, there was a few. There were a few. Oh, I know what it was. The movie Independence Day, when the president said, "We will not go darkly into the dark of night." Yeah, yeah. Today is our Independence Day. Okay, those are fictional, and I'm just inspired. All three of them, just inspired. I'm ready to go out there and hunt a bear with a switch. Just saying. He's just staring at me like,
I don't know that saying. I really don't get it.
Hunt a bear with a switch. That means I am like empowered. I can do anything with my bare hands. I'll go hunt a bear. I don't need a big gun. I can just get her done. Why am I explaining this to you?
I don't know.
I don't either. Anyway, moving on. All right. Listen, text it in or call it in. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. First topic of the day is home fries. Listen, the legislature's back in session, and I used to be there, so I could say these kind of jokes, but I like to say that we got about 15 legislative days before the state is safer. So they're coming down to the wire. They're on the downhill run in the legislative session. There's a few things that I'm watching to see what's going to happen, good and bad. I am not a fan of the gambling bill. I have questions about the ethics reform bill, and I want to see somebody crush the life out of that bill that would raise your prescription rates. That and whatever else can happen. Just got to watch out. Here's the other thing, you guys. Watch out for what's called local bills. People don't realize it because they often fly under the radar, but Alabama, much of what we do has to be taken down to Montgomery and you given the authority by the legislature to then do it back home. If you, like the classic example is, do you want to sell alcohol on Sunday? You'd be surprised. Your county may have a prohibition on that. You got to run a bill in Montgomery to allow your county to sell alcohol on Sunday. But what you don't also realize is sometimes they're doing things like, hey, let's run a quiet little bill in Montgomery, not a big deal, that will raise the lodging tax or will raise the local sales tax or might raise the property tax. You would hope you'd have a referendum to be able to vote on that kind of thing, but some of that stuff slips through without it. Watch out. Legislature's in session. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama, y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, so listen, first out the gate, you know the deal. I've got to spend some time gathering up stories that round about here in our backyard, things that impact you and I, things that are happening in and around and amongst us, and we like to get those together and cook them up. We call it a batch of home fries. Yeah. Cook it up. Smell it. All right, so here's the deal. Legislature's going back into session right now. In case you did not know, and by the way, I'll back up and say this. In case you did not know, the legislature only goes into session once a year. This is not like in D.C. or something where they're in and out. They're in and out all year long. It's their full-time job. People don't realize a lot of times the legislature in Alabama, the state house and the state senate, they are actually part-timers. Even the lieutenant governor is considered a part-time position. We used to call it my full-time part-time position, but there you go. But the legislature does stuff all year round around their districts. You know, they got meetings or doing different stuff, yada, yada. But when it comes to going into session to actually make the laws or pass the budgets, that only happens once a year. And they can't do a thing about it. They have to do it. It's scheduled. And it's slightly different each year, but it's basically on the calendar. Bam, you will come into the regular session and will convene, and you will convene for a period of, and I got to go from memory here, but I think it's 35 days of legislative effort or work in the chambers during a 105-day period, if I'm not mistaken. So they basically have to get in there. They spend 2 to 3 days a week, nugging out the legislative issues, passing the laws. They are on the downhill run right now. This legislative session they're in is more than half over. They've only got 13 legislative days left. It also gets down to the point that nothing else can get done. Because the process takes so long, there's no way in the world you can introduce new legislation or pick up where you left off on an old one. So at some point, because the quickest you can do something is, it's got to go, if you drop a bill in the Senate, it's got to go for one day in the Senate chamber being announced to the Senate and assigned to a committee, potentially the next day in committee, and then the next day it gets reported out. It could potentially be on the floor in about 3 days. But even then, you have to transmit to the House, and the earliest they can take it up would be the next legislative day, which might be the following Tuesday, and then do the same process again, assuming you have the ability to convene 3 days in a week. Because usually what they do is Tuesday and Thursdays, they're in chamber. Wednesdays, they do committees. Now, I'm in the weeds. Bottom line is what I'm telling you is this. It takes an average of 6 days to get a bill from start to finish passed. Never happens that fast unless you got a really super big agenda item. Right now, they got some big hairy doings. They got 13 calendar days left to pass a package of 7 bills related to workforce development that are supposedly high priority. So where does that leave gambling? Where does that leave the ethics reform bill? Where does that leave other things that were still kind of sitting out there, people wondering? By the way, my friend Charlotte Meadows, thank you, Charlotte, who just squared me away. She just texted me and said it's 30 days. Thank you, Charlotte. I've been out of office now for about 4 or 5 years. So it's anyway, that's why I've got friends. Thank you, Charlotte. So yeah, they have 30 legislative days. They are down to 13. Story here on Alabama Daily News regarding gambling. Lawmakers returned to Montgomery this week for the second half of the legislative session, and awaiting the House are significantly different, scaled-back versions of gambling bills. So yeah, you may recall, the House had this monstrous omnibus, do everything, make us Las Vegas, reward the bad guys, devil may care, tax it all, build big government, gambling bill. Did I catch it all? I think I did. And they passed that sucker in the first few days of the legislative session. Everything else was set aside. Nothing was more important than the gambling bill. Whoop, whoop, they got it done. They sent it upstairs. The Senate went, put on the brakes. So the Senate took it and set it aside for a while. Thought about it. Ruminated on it. Pondered it. Extrapolated. Next thing you know, they are in committee and they dropped a substitute on it because they did not have the votes. They were not going to get the votes. Praise God they weren't going to get the votes. That was an awful piece of legislation. You could look at that bill, by the way. It didn't matter whether you really liked gambling or not. That was still an awful bill. If you're a Republican, that bill sucked. You could go to the Republican website, and I did this. You can go to the Alabama Republican website, pull up their bylaws, and you could go down through that bill, and you could just check off all the violations of the Republican bylaws. I mean, everything. It's awful. Anyway, what are they going to do now? The Senate did pass a different, completely different version. Not only is the version different, but it changes where the money goes. And it also changed the election day because it's going to have to be a vote of the people. So this is like, yeah, we decided to start from scratch. Story here on Alabama Daily News. Greg Allbritton, who is the budget chairman who carried the bill in the Senate, he said, if we go to conference, which is what happens when you try to jibe the two chambers together, you try to get them together on a bill, you go to conference. If we go to conference, what changes will be acceptable to both bodies? It'll probably require a 3/5 vote to get it done, and that's a very heavy lift. He went on to say that House leaders have said the chamber will take up the legislation again, but there's not even a set timetable. I'm not sure they will take it up. They might. They might. But are they gonna agree? Right now, they appear to have lost the Democrats. And keep in mind, when the House ran that thing through, this is important. When the House ran that thing through, they did it with they did not have the votes for 40% of the Republicans. 40%. They had to have the Democrats to get it to pass. That's how bad the bill was. 40% of Republicans said, we don't want this. We're not touching it with a 10-foot pole. They voted no. So you've got House leadership was willing to split its caucus completely, side with the Democrats to get a very controversial bill passed, and then it went upstairs and didn't get any traction. That's a lot of political capital that got blown out right there. And I guarantee you, too, they've not only lost the Democrats. Story here says that Representative Sam Jones, a Democrat from Mobile, who chairs the gambling committee in his caucus, said they had worked with Republicans. One of the most important things, he said, was there'd be enough revenue coming out of it to address some of what he calls the ills of our state. In other words, they wanted social policy stuff. They wanted Medicaid expansion. They wanted all that. But he said, as the bill stands now, he doesn't think Democrats will support it. So if they've lost the Democrats, they're already out. I guarantee you, though, some of the Republicans who voted yes are not going to do that twice. Some of them voted yes, and they feel burned by it now. Some of them are mad at their leadership for twisting their arms and getting them into this position. Some of them lost things they wanted in it. Others are like, why are we doing this? This is awful. And then you got some of the diehards are like, we need gambling, please. So it's just a mixed bag. Bottom line, there's my long march to give you a short answer. I don't think gambling is going to pass. And that's good. And it'll be back next year because next year is moving into election season for the legislature. So I bet we won't. I bet it might be dead for a couple more years. Fine with me. Fine with me. Fine. Get her done. What else we got here? Let me get you a couple of quick ones. Home fries here. Let's see. Just so you know, your Attorney General, Steve, I'll take this one. Steve Marshall is at it again in a good way. Listen, I got no issues. I can search back and try to find things that Steve Marshall did or did not do that that I didn't care for. I can't. One of the things that I really appreciate is our Attorney General does not just prosecute crime in the state. He goes after things that harm our state from abroad. He has been fighting against the Biden administration on a daily basis, putting his office to work, making sure that your rights are not just trampled on by probably one of the most constitutionally unsound presidencies we've ever seen in the history of the United States. But there's a brand new lawsuit story here on Alabama Reflector, came out 2 days ago. The Alabama Attorney General joins a lawsuit challenging Biden's efforts to cut student loan debt. You may recall, you may recollect that it was just, last year when the U.S. Supreme Court decided that the president does not have unilateral authority to just wipe out people's student loan debt. He does not have the ability to look at, taxpayer dollars from you and me and Big Rig and all of us and take our money and pay off somebody else's student loans. Especially when you find that there was a lot of poor decision making. You went and got that 6-year plan degree in underwater basket weaving and you incurred $70,000 in debt. And now you want the taxpayers to pay it off for you. I mean, come on. So Biden got his backside handed to him by the U.S. Supreme Court. He said, no, and yet he's still at it. So the Supreme Court decision last summer blocked his strategy to outright cancel $430 billion in federal loan debt. I mean, by the way, that's a contract. When you take out a loan, that's actually a contract. Despite that loss and in completely brazen fashion, says Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach, the president pressed ahead anyway and implemented other versions of student loan forgiveness. So 11 states have now joined a lawsuit, one of which those 11 is Alabama. Thank you, Attorney General Steve Marshall. The new 11-state lawsuit, which was filed in Wichita, contended that the executive branch does not have the power to amend student loan repayment plans, which would essentially do away with another $156 billion in student debt. Kansas Attorney General said Biden was guilty of violating the Supreme Court's major questions doctrine, which presumed Congress has the authority to assign consequential decisions to a federal agency. Yeah, what Biden's doing is he's bypassing the federal question. The federal question doctrine essentially says that there are certain things that have to go through Congress unless they have otherwise delegated the authority for those questions to be answered by an executive branch function. And this has not happened. All right, look, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back, and I'll tell you, if you're a real estate appraiser, I got a bill you might want to know about. Or what about the Democrat who got elected up in Huntsville? What's she up to? Oh, yeah, she's already making waves, taking her mandate and going places with it. And then we got unions attempting to form. And then coming up, top of the hour, Stephanie Smith, Alabama Policy Institute. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. Coming up here in the next few minutes, Stephanie Smith calling in from the Alabama Policy Institute. We'll talk about things as she sees it, heading down into Montgomery and other state policy issues. Really good at what she does. She's been doing a great job taking over now as this year as the president of API. Here's a couple things for you as we go through another batch of home fries. Yeah. Cook them. Smell them. All right. Remember last, by the way, that reminds me, do not forget, if you live in the Gunnersville area, if you're listening to this show and you live in the Gunnersville area, you have a special election today, go to the polls and vote. Do not forget, if you have family in Gunnersville, call them, remind them to go vote. Do not let what happened last week in Huntsville happen in Gunnersville. All right. You've got a special election to replace Wes Kitchens, who went from being a state representative to a state senator. And you want to go ahead and make sure that that election is covered down on. Your candidate is remembered at the polls, and the work they put into running is not forgotten by the voters who just forgot to turn out. So what happened? What happened in Huntsville was exactly that. You had awful turnout, like pitiful, like shame on you kind of turnout. I want to say somewhere like lower than 14%. you can look at the percentages and go, wow, this was a blowout. She won like what, 62-38%. That looks big until you realize that's a total of less than 6,000 votes in a district that has, 45 or 48,000 people. So let's don't do that again. Anyway, her name is Marilyn Lands. So we now have a seat that once was held by none other than Congressman Mo Brooks. I mean, that's where he started out in terms of legislative work. He started off in House District 10 in Huntsville. I mean, that's like ironclad red territory. And now a Democrat holds it. No, way to go, voters. State Representative Marilyn Lands is her name. Story here on 1819 News. She is not wasting any time trying to capitalize on the publicity she got out of flipping a red seat. Says Lands has now been a regular on MSNBC over the last several days, crowing. This is all big doings. It's a mandate. Not really. She's been a regular on MSNBC. In a recent appearance, she talked about the fact that she believes she's going to be able to challenge Alabama's pro-life policies through her special election campaign. No, she's not. Let's be honest. Marilyn Lands will never have the opportunity to truly vote on a repealing any of Alabama's pro-life laws. Quite a bit of it is actually embedded in our Constitution, voted on by the people already. And then what's in statutory form is not likely to be unraveled. You have a Republican supermajority. You're one blue dot in a big sea of red, so please stop trying to pretend you've got a mandate. However, here's one thing she did do. She says on Saturday she announced a political action committee that is geared towards elections and getting more women elected. Read that between the lines. Getting more liberal women who want to fight for abortion elected. That's what that is. She says, my supporters have formed the Political Action Committee Respect Alabama, that's the name of the organization, to get more women elected in the Senate. So that's something else we're pushing for, she says. And anyway, you can donate to it, apparently. And that's the way the PACs work. I mean, people who have a great idea, support a cause, have things they want to champion, they will sometimes have PACs, and those PACs then go out and support candidates of their choice. I don't mind that. You got to be careful. Some of the PACs are shady. They get set up and they use DART money, they call it. The question is going to be, is she going to receive some of the Soros funding that she got for her election? Is she going to wind up having this PAC set up and suddenly that PAC then gets funded by a huge tranche of money from somebody like George Soros or some of the others who are from out of state that look at it and they go, there's a vehicle we can use. And next thing you know, the teachers union or the Soros DAs or some other major liberal organization, Media Matters, Southern Poverty Law Center, whatever, start donating heavily to that PAC. Then it becomes an issue. Voters in Huntsville, you guys, listen, y'all let this happen. Voters in Guntersville, do not let them have their way. Do not let the camel get his nose under the tent. All right, listen, we're about to head to the break, but I'll just tell you right now, two other stories that I'm kind of tracking. Three, actually. One is the Alabama Real Estate Appraisers Board. What? Yes, everybody's got a board. All God's children got a board down in Montgomery. Some of that's because we're one of the most licensed heavy states in the nation. But we actually have a provision, and I saw this happen all the time. A new board's being formed, or a board's being amended, or something's being done that will require oversight. And a member of the Democrat caucus will go up and go, well, we're not going to vote for this bill unless you'll say that at least two of the members have to be minorities. Okay. And next thing you know, they do. Well, you now have the Pacific Legal Foundation, an organization that sort of like Alliance Defending Freedom and some of the others. They come and they fight for constitutional rights. And they are here in Alabama now filing suit against Governor Kay Ivey because the Real Estate Appraisers Board has unfilled seats that are supposed to be held for a minority. And they're saying, we got qualified people out there, but they're not minorities. So it's racial tension in the opposite direction. Interesting. Coming up next, we got Stephanie Smith, API. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.